This is HPR episode 2133 entitled, Compression Technology Part 1. It is hosted by first-time host The Bishop, and is about 20 minutes long. The summary is, Introduction to Data Reduction Methods, Run-Length Encoding.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Howdy folks, this is 5150. If you're going to attend the Ohio Linux Fest this weekend, October 7th through 8th, be sure to seek out the Linux Podcasters booth. It is a collaboration between Hacker Public Radio, the Podnuts Network, Kernel Panic Oddcast, Linux Lugcast, and your other favorite shows. Joe Hecht of the New Single Board Computer and Virtual Private Server Show is graciously providing swag in the form of mugs, stickers, and t-shirts. And I am bringing an unworn t-shirt from Kansas Linux Fest 2015, the inaugural year. It's going to be first come, first serve, under the desk, so you're going to have to ask for it, and some stickers. And we'd love to meet all our fans in Columbus. See you there.
Hello HPR listeners, my name is The Bishop and this is my first podcast for HPR. I come from Berlin in Germany and I want to speak about compression technology. The plan is to make more than one episode out of it because it's a wide field. And in this first episode, I want to lay out some foundations about data theory, redundancy, transformations, and give an example about a very simple compressor from the old times called RLE or run-length encoder, run-length encoding. Okay, let's go on. First, a short bit on information theory. The first word is entropy. This means chaos in data. For instance, if you take bytes out of the random generator, then you get very chaotic or optimally totally chaotic data, which has no structure and every bit has its place. This is uncompressible by any method. But nowadays we have many data which is not full entropy. So there is second word redundancy. This means, for instance, for written text in a language that the words repeat from time to time, like this and that. And there are some rules how the language is built. And this counts for redundancy. And redundancy is what compressors are aimed to reduce, to make more efficient data storage, or like less transfer over the internet with compressed data versus the raw data. Then, next term, lossless versus lossy compression. Program code or text has to be compressed lossless so that the decompressor can reconstruct the original data bit by bit, because programs would just crash if some bits are flipped. And for other data types like the picture, color information of pictures, or like the audio wave from your receiver, lossy compression, like in MP3 or JPEG images, can be okay, because this lossy compression exploits the function of the human ear and the human eye that cannot recognize every different bit in a sound or in a picture. And I'm talking about ordered data stream. Usually when you compress a file, the file starts at position 0, and then you have a longer stream of bytes or bits, and at some point the stream ends. So the compressor usually creates a bit or byte stream with the compressed result, and the decompressor's aim is to parse the compressed stream and reconstruct the original data. Okay, transformations. Sometimes it can be useful to transform the data before compressing to make the compressor more efficient. For instance, when you have a temperature sensor and you record the sensor data, usually over the day the temperatures don't spike and drop so fast. So when you use a delta transformation, you take a temperature reading and the next temperature reading and subtract them from each other. Then you have the delta, the difference between these two values. So, and then you record the first temperature value, and then you only transmit or record the differences to the last reading. So usually you get much zeros, plus one and minus one, because temperature ramps rather slowly. And so you have only three different values, and this can be compressed much more efficient, like when you record 40 degrees, 41 degrees, and so on and so on. For image or audio compression, it's good, you can exploit much more compressibility by using a fast Fourier transformation, like what is done in JPEG and MP3 files. And because you change the structure of the data, the compressor can spare more bits, and then the decompressor reconstructs the data field, and then the inverse fast Fourier transformation reconstructs the next two original sample or part of the picture. With that, like MP3 can usually cut off the data size by 1 to 10, and JPEG pictures can also really pictures saved in JPEG format are usually much, much smaller, like the original BMP style file on the disk. And then, which is good for general date program or especially text compression, there's this Burroughs-Wheeler transformation, or BWT, which is exploited by the BZIP2 program you maybe seen before, file ending BZIP2. The special property of the Burroughs-Wheeler transformation is that it does not work on bitstream or bytestream, but on whole blocks of data at a time, and it is lossless as well. Okay, now going more to the RLE part of this talk. For example, fax machine. You may know them. They're not so common anymore where we have internet, but still they are in use to send documents to other companies or something. And with a standard fax resolution of 100 dots per inch, a whole A4 sheet of paper amounts to 826 by 1169 pixel. That makes next to a million of pixel. Because fax machines only transmit black and white, every pixel is one bit. So that makes about 120 kilobytes. And the fax modems communicate with other fax machines at 9600 BPS. So that would be about 125 seconds or even more through protocol if you would transmit these fax pictures uncompressed. There, the fax G3 compression was invented, and so standard pages like letters with not so much text and many white fields on the paper can be transmitted in 10 to 20 seconds per page. But in the worst case, when you put a piece of paper into the fax machine with a gray noise pattern, the transmission can even last much longer than 125 seconds, because for very noisy data, the G3 compression even enlarges the compressed the G3 compression will even increase the file size by compressing, because it's not made for such chaotic data. But on usual stuff you put in the fax machine, it works quite well. Okay, another example. In old times, on Windows 3.x and Windows 95, 98 and so on, there was a startup logo in 16 colors in 640 by 480 pixel size, and this boot or startup logo had much black area around, and in the middle of the screen there was this Windows Microsoft logo. Uncompressed, this picture took 300 kilo nibbles, or in bytes that would be 150 kilobytes, to put it on a disk in a file. And with the RLE compression, these logos were only like 10 or 20 kilobytes big, because RLE, like the fax compression, shines when you have long run of identical bytes. So, okay, now after some introduction, going on to the part with the RLE compression, explaining the RLE compression algorithms. Well, there are many different brands, but I will talk about a simple RLE with prefix and a simple RLE compression without prefix codes. In my example, I work with I work with 8-bit symbols, so every byte in the data stream is one symbol, so I have 256 different symbols. And every of these symbols can arise in the input data. So, and because I want to make one output stream out of the input stream, so I use in-band signaling, I have to use a trick to put in the repeat count which realizes the data compression. Okay, let's try an RLE compression without prefix. So I take the first byte from the input and I put it out, because the first byte I can't really do something on that. I carry it on, and then I look at the second byte, and if the second byte is the same, like for instance, first we had we start with this Windows boot logo. It starts, the first lines are big runs of 0 bytes because the logo is in the middle of the screen. So I see a 0 byte, I put it out, and I see a second 0 byte, I put it out, and then I start counting. Okay, byte 3, byte 4, byte 5, la la la, byte 99, byte 100, okay. By the way, when I'm at byte 100, the counter is at 98, because I don't count the first 2 bytes, because they are already put out. Okay, and now, for instance, I see a different byte. Okay, and then I write out the byte with the counter, and then I start over. Okay, I read this different byte at position 101 and put it out, and I read byte number 102, and this is different to 101. Okay, I put it out as well, and byte 103 is the same as 102. Okay, now I put it out and start counting again, like before, and so on. And when I hit end of file, I write out the remaining counter or the last byte I didn't put out, and then I'm finished. And the decompressor then reads the file byte by byte, and when he hits 2 consecutive identical bytes, the next byte is read as a counter, and then this the former byte is repeated that much times. Okay, so far so good. But for instance, when I use RLE on ASCII text, in many languages we have double L or double S letters or similar, or double T, and in this case, I have in lossy, I have 2 S. I read the S, put it out, I read the second S, put it out, and start counting. And then I see the Y. Okay, so my counter is still 0, and I lost the byte in compression because I have to put a length byte after 2 identical bytes. This can hurt the compression if I don't use RLE for very regular data. But there's a different approach on RLE, which I called RLE with prefix. That means I have 2 types of counters. Like I use 1 bit as a flag in the counter byte. I use 1 bit as a flag if compressible data follows or uncompressible data follows, and the remaining 7 bit I use as a counter from 1 to 128. So when the compressor reads a byte, first bytes, it checks if there are identical bytes, and if there are more than 2 or more than 3 or more than 4, depends on the layout, identical bytes are found. The former bytes, which were uncompressible, are prefixed in to the output. The prefix byte is written with the flag of non-compressible and count bytes. And then the bytes are put from input to output. And then it counts the identical bytes to be compressed and stops at the first non-identical byte again. And then prefix with the flag repetition is put out, and then the byte of the data to repeat it, to be repeated. So that means under bad circumstances, uncompressible data, compressed data will be up to 128th of the file size bigger, but it's not so much, and usually you use RLE on good compressible very systematic data, so you usually don't hit this 128th file size increase. Yeah, that is so far what I wanted to say. RLE is very simple. Maybe try in your scripting programming language of your choice to write a simple RLE compressor and decompressor, and try it out with different data sets and get a feeling how RLE works. And my pro tip is then take a hex viewer or hex editor and look into the original data and in the compressed data. And yeah, that should be very easy to understand. Yeah, and next time I will cover the next advanced compression algorithm. So far, have fun and hear you later.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.